Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 11th day of the first month of 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and there's so much news from so many fronts today that we better start off with a headline review this time just to set the stage. First, from the economic meltdown, obviously still in progress, higher headline CPI than was expected. Hey, and is that unexpected? Says Zero Hedge, in December, food costs have hit yet another record Biden-Fuhrer regime high. The numbers, and remember, folks, these are adjusted to protect those responsible for really destroying the economy anyway, are higher than expected. It was 0.3% month over month. Do you really believe that? As opposed to just 0.2% that the experts thought might be trotted out to see if people would buy it. That means headline CPI is up to 3.4%, and the real number is easily 3 or 4 times that, if not higher. But don't worry, they'll eventually get around to reporting it, probably by the time it's much higher still. Here's a related story, also from Zero Hedge. The headline says, progress is still slow, claim the Feds and the other market manipulators. Wall Street, though, is reacting to today's hotter-than-expected inflation print by saying, uh-oh, that's not the real bad news. The real bad news is that the Fed might not ease and give us as much easy money as we're jonesing for. Richard Flynn, managing director of Charles Schwab, among others, was quoted to say that this increase, quote, in the rate of inflation will be a change that will most likely be interpreted by the market as unwelcome, but unsurprising. If today's report is the start of an upward pattern, gee, do you think, there's a good chance that the Fed may delay rate cuts until later than previously expected. Well, not to worry. They've still got to start cranking out those rate cuts before the election. Anyway, he says it looks like the market may have jumped the gun in penciling in quite as many Fed rate cuts, in other words, 6, as they thought for the new year 2024. Speaking of rigged elections, the replacement rhinos for when the bird of prey manages to either kill or politically assassinate the character, at minimum, of Donald Trump, is still shaken out. Last night, the hippo rhino from New Jersey finally rolled over, mercifully, and breathed his last in the campaign. Chris Christie's withdrawal, says another piece from Zero Hedge, from the 2024 GOP, yeah, sure, presidential field surely brought smiles to rival rhino Nikki Newcomall Haley, until a hot mic caught the former New Jersey governor scoffing at her political prospects as he chatted backstage moments before officially announcing he'd had enough and realized he had more chance trying to score a spot in the next communist cabinet, especially if he turned tranny and cut off something that he wasn't really using anyway. But, he said, quote, she's going to get smoked. Christie's candor offered an amusingly blunt counterpoint, says the story here, to big media's relentless attempts to bolster the warmongering rhino Haley as the establishment's last remaining hope. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Of eliminating Trump. Well, except for the obvious plans B and C and maybe D, E, and F. According to the Daily Beast, just before he took the stage in Windham, New Hampshire, Christie was backstage talking to the former New Hampshire Republican Party chair and about his only remaining backer, a fellow named Wayne McDonald, and he said the following. People don't want to hear it, Wayne. We know we're right, but they don't want to hear it. We couldn't have been any clearer. We couldn't have been any more direct or worked any harder. I mean, look, she spent $68 million so far just on TV, $59 million by DeSantis. We've spent 12. I mean, who's punching above their weight? And who's getting a return on their investment? Well, the answer there is obviously the people pulling the Biden puppet strings. But, continued the rhino big guy, and she's gonna get smoked. And you and I both know it. She's just not up to this. Har-dee-har! And the funny part is, neither is just about anybody else in the whole stinking fetid swamp. And they all know it. Which takes me right to World War III and the front in the Middle East. Newcomb Haley will certainly be excited about this, too. Iranian naval forces acting under a court order have seized Marshall Islands flag tanker, the St. Nicholas, according to Bloomberg, citing Iran's semi-official Tasnim news agency. The report said the St. Nicholas is a U.S. oil tanker in the Gulf of Oman. As you might expect, oil prices are up on the news. So are Nuki's prospects, certainly are endorphins. And I turn next to a piece from Brian Shilhavy, the editor of Health Impact News, who says that World War III's hot war continues to escalate this week as the regional conflict, well, it's not intended to stay that way for long, between Israel and Hezbollah, who some believe has 10 times the military power that Hamas ever had, escalates, as does the increasingly clear naval war in the Red Sea. Furthermore, they quote this story that a U.S. warship has been directly targeted in what's called the largest ever Houthi missile attack in the Red Sea. The U.S. Navy shot down nearly 24 missiles and drones, says the coverage, in a major new Red Sea incident, according to U.S. CENTCOM, or Central Command. Makes one of the largest single attacks to take place since the Sukkot invasion of Israel. And the AP has dubbed it the largest ever barrage of drones and missiles targeting shipping in the Red Sea. No word on how much the U.S. spent to repel the attack, but it's probably on the order of, another 20 or 30 or more million fiat bucks. But come on, who's counting? The White House, says the piece here, has for many weeks sought to downplay or even obscure, hey, would they do that? The fact that the Houthis are directly targeting American military vessels, perhaps sent there for that very reason anyway. This as the Biden Fuhrer has waffled on requests from Pentagon leadership. Well, wait a minute. I thought they were all basically AWOL to hit back directly against Houthi launch positions. Hey, wait a second. I do have a story here from the ever-reliable UK Sun saying that real soon now, the Brits and United States navies are fixing to commence thinking about starting to plan for an eventual, maybe, massive blitz of 600 missiles against the Iran-backed rebels there in Yemen. Meanwhile, says the story, American troops are being attacked daily in other locations, especially Iraq and Syria. But that's not what the point of the story was. However, as these news reports show growing military operations against the U.S. and Israel in the Mideast, something that's perhaps even more devastating to the U.S. was reported this week. Well, folks, actually, it's been reported for years, but it's just coming to a head. Still, says the Health Impact News, it's gone mostly unnoticed by U.S. media. There's a shocker. And this was an announcement published earlier this week in Russian press that the newly expanded BRICS alliance has now become a fully operational Death Star platform for the self-sufficient, dollar-free grain market. And they may soon even start their own grain exchange as well. And wow, imagine that too. It sounds like they're actually planning to have grain to exchange, unlike certain other countries that are trying to destroy their very own farming infrastructure. And as you know, folks, I'm not talking about only the once-free United States. From there, a brief update on the traitor masquerading as Secretary of Defense, that is, when he manages to show up at all, Lloyd Austin. InfoWars has an interview up with General Michael Flynn. You recall that he was the first target of the early phase insurrection Obama regime in hiding when they failed to secure the rigged election for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump took office. His credibility continues to look better and better each and every day, not to mention his integrity. Anyway, this story refers to the AWOL SecDef, treasonous Lloyd Austin, and basically says, you know what? While that was going on, they lost control of the nuclear football. Well, at least it's good to know that somebody has the chutzpah to come out and admit what we all had already figured out anyway. Does seem, by the way, that there are increasing numbers of senators and representatives in the swamp admitting, hey, maybe it's time we impeached Lloyd Austin. And I got to admit it, folks, that is sickly humorous. The guy has done nothing in the way of actual defense as defense secretary since before he was installed. Meanwhile, the nation's been invaded. The military has been gutted, dumbed down, transgenderfied, and Zyklon B injected. And he fails to tell the commander-in-chief, who's too senile to know what he would have been hearing anyway, that I'm going to be out for a few days. But don't worry, the nation is in at least as good a hands with nobody at the controls as it was for the last 3 years or more. And now they're talking about impeaching him? Still, a little bit of information continues to trickle out. The Burning Platform via State of the Nation has a couple of major updates on the latest Austin treason front. And I guess in this case I need to be careful with that terminology, folks, because going AWOL isn't actually quite as serious as actually aiding and abetting the enemy and encouraging the invasion like he's been doing when he does show up for work. Anyway, beginning with one that says the Austin hospitalization intrigue has all the hallmarks of an assassination attempt. After all, 3 whole days went by before the president, sick, and the White House knew of the secretary's absence, which is completely unacceptable and unheard of under any circumstances. In point of fact, there's simply no other explanation for a secretary of defense, sick, to not inform his immediate alleged supervisor, senile though he may be, in the chain of command. That would be POTUS, if we had one, folks, that he'll be absent from his position and therefore unable to perform his critical military duties. Wait a minute. Again, are we kidding? That's been the case for 3 years. And, of course, let's not forget, they have managed to get 2 major wars going on, and they're jonesing for more. And then there's this. because more and more people are asking it. Your host asked it on day one, as you probably recalled, and you didn't even have to hear me to know this would have been exactly what I was thinking. If the so-called SecDef had a serious case of, say, oh, I don't know, clot shot itis, immune deficiencies resulting in turbo cancers, vaccine-induced myocarditis, or whatever the case might be. There are a million possibilities, remember. He'd want to keep that secret, given that he forced out thousands of actual good soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who refused the vax. And he'd also not want to admit to himself or others that he was tricked, if he was really that stupid, into taking the Zyklon B injection. I know, maybe he thought he was getting the placebo, but somebody slipped him the real thing when he wasn't looking. There's more news on the other deadly duo of treason that once infested the White House. I'm talking about Marxist Milley, who once masqueraded as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Red State has an update on that score, entitled, A J6 Witness Says That Milley Is the Don Barzini of the Deep State. And it says this, the colonel and army lawyer challenging the army's official narrative, in other words, big lie, of the events and leadership decisions during the Capitol Hill protest that are called J6 or January 6, 2021, when the communist forces completed their coup. And that's the narrative relied upon by the Colorado Supreme Court, it says, when they, and let's put it as politely as I can, folks, made stuff up and struck the elected president, Donald J. Trump, from the ballot. Well, that man has told Red State that then-chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, yep, you know the name, General Marxist A. Milley, was in fact the black hand operating outside of his legal authority, what else is new, to delay the District of Columbia National Guard from responding to the protests that day. And as you probably are aware, if you don't get your news from CNN or the other criminally negligent networks, Donald Trump had tried to order the guard to the Capitol, but he was blocked. And then they lied about that, too. Colonel Earl G. Matthews, Harvard Law School graduate and then senior legal advisor to Major General William J. Walker, the D.C. Guard's commanding general, from May 2018 through April of 2021, said that Milley is the Don Barzini of the deep state. He's the most powerful chairman of the Joint Chiefs in history, he said. It was Milley all along, and I didn't realize it at the time. Milley was manipulating this entire stuff from point start. The former guardsman, now serving in the Army Reserve, said that as Joint Chiefs Chairman, Milley had no legal role in the actual chain of command. He was simply the president's senior military advisor. However, Milley leveraged his staff in the pentagram, or whatever they call it, and exploited his relationships with other generals he mentored, and therefore favored for promotion, so that he ended up running the Army as his own feudal fiefdom. Said Matthews, quote, Milley controlled the army. And the problem, he said, was not with Donald Trump. It's Mark Milley and the army leadership in control. They stopped the guard from coming in, then lied about it, and said the guard acted at sprint speed. This, he continued, is about civilian control of the military. There is none. There is none. I argue that Mark Milley had more control over the D.C. Guard on January 6th than Donald Trump did. If Trump wanted to call the guard to go to the Capitol, Milley wouldn't let him do it. Jim Quinn at the Burning Platform has a real tour de force of what's been going on of late up on his website. Just paddling while the empire burns, it begins, and he starts with a reference to that phrase, fiddling while Rome burns. It is, he says, an intriguing idiom, referencing the great fire which ravaged Rome for 6 days in 64 AD. The legend, of course, is that Emperor Nero, one of the most sadistic, decadent, and cruel rulers of all time, well, at least up until recent decades, instead of taking actions to stop the fire, played his lyre while composing a song about Rome's destruction. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote that Nero was rumored to have sung about the destruction of Rome while watching the city burn, but it's likely this was just a myth. Still, though, folks, it's a great metaphor. The fire destroyed 70% of the city, left half the population homeless, and, of course, there are those who believe, I'm sure they would be called conspiracy theorists today, that Nero set the fire on purpose, especially after he used the land cleared by that fire to build his golden palace and its surrounding pleasure garden. And, being a soulless autocrat at heart, Nero did what all feckless politicians do. He blamed the Christians, an obscure religious sect at that time, for the fire, and had many of them arrested and, of course, executed. Whether that story is true or just a parable, the messages remain pertinent throughout history, and never more so than today. Arguably, occupying one's time doing inconsequential things while catastrophic events are underway is the ultimate in leadership failure. And of course, if those things are planned, your host can't help but think it's a couple of notches worse. Focusing on trivial matters while your people are suffering during a time of crisis is the mark of an ineffectual, irresponsible leader at best, or maybe one whose true purpose is to burn down society so that it can be built back better in the form of a communist totalitarian state ruled by a globalist elite cabal. Obviously, continues Jim Quinn, it's impossible to ignore the parallels to an American empire in flames, as the Biden-Fuhrer, the hordes of hyena politicians in the District of Criminal Swamp, and their captured corporate propaganda media mouthpieces, not to mention the central bankster fiat printing enablers and the Davos billionaire cadre, but, he says, no doubt, it's become a conflagration destined to rage out of control and consume not just Rome, but the entire planet in flames. Yes, if you've read The Fourth Turning, you know we're in a time of crisis, our rendezvous with destiny. Not only is the American empire burning in an abstract sense, but once the Antifa, BLM, and pro-abortion terrorist groups, all of course funded by Soros and Gates et al., hit the streets, the country will be literally burning. The chaos, havoc, violence, and vitriol are being engineered by the puppeteers, a.k.a. invisible government, who control the minds of the masses through media manipulation, nonstop propaganda, technological deceit, and, of course, socialist, I put that ist in there, folks, indoctrination through government schooling. It was succinctly described by Edward Bernays nearly a century ago and has been perfected by those governing the world today. And he quotes the line I'm sure you've heard before that used the phrase invisible government from propaganda at length. I wonder, though, if the people of Rome were as baffled by their emperor's total disregard for their well-being and safety as the city burned to the ground, as the minority of critical-thinking Americans are today, watching the Biden-Fuhrer and his Obama-based handlers and their toadies in Congress who systematically burn our once-great republic to the ground. No doubt, the Biden-Fuhrer is an incompetent, low-IQ, hapless, dementia-ridden, racist pedophile, but what's happening in this country and across the globe is not due to mere incompetence, but a purposeful destruction of all productive structures, small businesses, constitutional rights, and, of course, societal norms. And I would add biblical standards, too, but that, of course, is politically incorrect even to suggest nowadays. In order to implement a totalitarian techno-gulag across the world, run by a global elite of billionaires and their evil apparatchiks. That's quite a paragraph, folks, and it pretty well nails it. A crucial aspect of this new world order, says Jim Quinn, is massive depopulation of the planet to the desired number of serfs, less than half a billion, said the late, not-so-great Georgia Guidestones, needed to do the slave labor to keep the overlords in the luxury and splendor that they become accustomed to. Private jets, yachts, fenced luxurious 25-bathroom mansions, armed with private security for them, while the serfs own nothing, eat bugs, and of course, oh, don't forget, they'll be happy, or at least be swiftly terminated, since guns will have long since been outlawed. Bottom line, says Luongo, quoting Cicero, our nation is beset by traitors within. And here he starts to get to the real nitty-gritty. The pockets of firestorms, says Quinn, swirling out of control across the world and purposely ignited by those running the show, makes it difficult to distinguish between fires detonated as distractions and the real inferno destined to reduce the world to ashes. Understand, though, that everything roiling the world over the past 27 months plus has been initiated and or utilized by the ruling oligarchs in order to implement their master plan of build back better as they burn the world to the ground. Even the distractions, though, are designed to further the agenda, like the latest example, the Supreme Court ruling on abortion. And while the lunatic left riots and protests in left-wing cities where they can murder an unborn child anytime they want, and woke corporations virtue signal on behalf of sacrifices to Molech, it gives the left-wing media something to scream about other than the J6 insurrection, and he puts that in quotes, hearings that no one wants to watch anyway. Pride Month is, again, nothing but a giant distraction where drag queens, teachers grooming children, and transgendered BS are jammed down our throats, and corporations attempt to capitalize on the worship of abnormality. We're there, he says, the place that William Casey, CIA director, wrote about in 1981. Quote, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. The January 6th armed insurrection farce, he says, led without arms by a Buffalo guy, initiated by FBI plants like Ray Epps and Antifa infiltrators, is another giant engineered distraction. It's all designed to cover up the traitorous coup conducted against Trump by deep state players in the Oval Office. You know, the three-letter agencies and the puppet master, as well as the wicked witch herself, Hillary Clinton. And the Washington establishment, a.k.a. One Party, instituted yet another distraction last week under the guise of, oh, say it with me, folks, protecting the children. Another unconstitutional gun grab that basically says, the hell with the entire Bill of Rights. Even if red flag laws, which have already correctly been deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, are overturned, that didn't stop the likes of Pelosi, Schumer, and a bunch of traitorous Republican rhinos from virtue signaling and committing treason in the process. Until it's overturned, it'll be used to take away the guns of anyone not towing the Big Brother line. And as your host has noted for some time, it's also intended to kick off a hot civil war. Just as was the case with the Biden-Fuhrer's unconstitutional demand, Achtung, that all employers mandate the Zyklon B injection, knowing full well it was unconstitutional, and tearing up the Bill of Rights in the process, the ruse worked anyway, as tens of thousands of employers mandated the poison poke before it was deemed what it actually always was, illegal as hell. But still, folks, they've managed to kill who knows how many, tens probably of millions of people that are now dead folks walking. And I like this good one-paragraph summary. Just as Nero blamed the Christians for the disaster he created, Biden blames Putin, Trump, oil companies, the unvaxxed, lawful gun owners, and the 70 million voters who still consider him to be an illegitimate fake president for the 10-alarm fire engulfing the economy, stock market, and the society he continues to debase with far-left, utterly fascist policies. At the current trajectory, Biden should go down in history as infamous as Nero, with his fatally reckless actions trying to initiate World War III with Russia. Quinn recounts the sort of details there. I won't, because you already know them. But as Biden spends his days in a dementia-ridden haze, falling off bikes, crapping his pants, smelling little children, pumping green energy fantasies, and honoring mentally damaged LGBTQ++ icons while pretending to be president, his handlers orchestrate everything he does, says, or thinks, and the country accelerates towards economic implosion, global war, civil chaos, and hardship never experienced, at least since the 1930s, for average Americans. Now here, folks, your host has to make one more observation. In the 1930s, the family farm was still a very much real and available thing. It saved a whole lot of lives. That, of course, has been systematically destroyed in the decades since. So that safety net isn't there this time around. Neither, of course, will be diesel-powered tractors, trucks, or locomotives. Not to mention nitrates and fertilizers, and a whole bunch of food processing facilities that have been mysteriously and suddenly burned to the ground. Here he quotes Leonard Cohen's famous song, and the lyrics that say, everybody knows. In this case, everybody knows the 2020 election was stolen. Everybody knows we're on the wrong path, to put it mildly. Everyone knows Biden is brain dead. Everyone knows Kamala is the dumbest human being on planet Earth. And, oh yeah, we also know that if she'd kept her legs together, she wouldn't be where she is today. Everyone knows Biden's team are a bunch of incompetent diversity hires. Everyone knows we just, pissed away $54 billion down a Ukrainian toilet. Biden's responsible for double-digit inflation, intended to go much higher, not to mention $5 gas, also intended to go a whole lot higher, and everybody knows bad things are going to happen over the next 2 years. And finally, he concludes what most of us know. The conspiracy theorists have been right all along, including the fact that the most sadistic and insidious aspect of their depopulation conspiracy are the so-called vaccines that don't keep anyone from contracting, spreading, being hospitalized, or dying from COVID, pumped into the bodies now of almost 5 billion people, while actual thinking doctors, not yet bought off or intimidated by Big Pharma, warned over a year ago about the side effects, the ADE, or antibody-dependent enhancement, created by the not vaccines, and the dangers of myocarditis and other heart and clotting issues, especially in seemingly healthy young people, and they warned about potential impacts on fertility. And for their troubles, most ended up being banned by the likes of Twitter and to Facebook. While the Centers for Death and Control and the federal death agencies, along with Fauci, Pfizer, Moderna, and the other evil servants of Satan, continue to lie and obfuscate. So, the good news, everybody knows, at least most of those with eyes to see or ears to hear. The question is, from here on out, what will we do about it? And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight.
Well, folks, as long as there's life, there's hope. And, of course, that means the good guys really didn't lose. We know that the end of the book says something entirely different. But it is important that we remember we are supposed to be overcomers. We're also not supposed to be deceived. And in a time of AI and universal deception and people masquerading as, well, fill in the blank, Secretary of Defense, POTUS, you name it, not to mention putting on black robes and pretending they serve the God of the Bible, why, we all know that it's something entirely different. Well, pay attention and don't be deceived. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.